This episode of the Nonprofit Snapcast is brought to you by Arjuna Solutions. Arjuna uses its patented AI and behavioral economics technology to help nonprofits increase their direct response fundraising. It's easy with Arjuna. Learn more at www.arjunasolutions.com.
Let's change the world together. Welcome to the Snapcast, the podcast for all nonprofit professionals, bringing you interviews and amazing ideas for nonprofit leaders.
Hello, this is Mickey Desai at Cause Camp. You guys know that already. This time I have Ashley Sandregret sitting across the table from me. How are you, Ashley?
Good.
You're the customer success manager for One Cause.
I am, yeah.
What does that mean?
So, yeah, that's a lot, right? So I help create relationships with customers that use our fundraising software. Our customers are nonprofit professionals that are raising money, and we want to meet them right where they are so they can be successful, reach their goals, so they can continue to do the amazing work that they're doing and serve their missions in the best way possible. And our fundraising platform does that.
So are you guys a CRM?
We are not a CRM.
Okay.
Yes, we're fundraising software.
Okay, so what does that mean?
Yeah, so if you're a fundraising professional, if you're in development, you're an event coordinator, you are going to want to use our programs, our platforms we have for your galas, for peer-to-peer, your run walks, we have text to give. Fundraising software, lots of different variations of ways that you can use our fundraising software to meet your fundraising needs.
So you're basically bringing different channels for people to use to get funds in, whether it's an event.
Yes.
And you said text to give.
Text to give, silent auctions, live auctions. Now we're in person back again doing live galas. And so we can do that hybrid. We're able to, our software program is able to meet our development, our fundraising developers, as in they can do it in person and have the hybrid version as well for people that aren't so comfortable yet to be back in person.
Right. So in the effort to keep this just from being an infomercial, let's ask a personal question first.
Yeah.
How did you come to do this? Have you worked in the field along?
I was with a nonprofit for 14 years. Loved it. Loved serving a mission. And I was a customer of One Cause. And I used the software program for our live auction, for our donor appeal. And it was seamless and it was wonderful. And it really helped us achieve our goals without taking the stress out of it. Right. And we had all of this support. One Cause had brought us so much support and we had excellent customer service. So to be honest, I wasn't even looking for a job when I came to One Cause. I'm not even kidding. Like I said, I attended their RAISE conference virtually and they had so many great speakers and they were talking about the up and coming fundraising trends and really meeting and bringing speakers in to talk about what the complications that we're having as fundraisers in this world, in this new world of fundraising. And the conference just was so good that I'm like, okay, I got to know what's going on at One Cause. This place, not only have I received really great customer service, the software is fantastic, but they're really advancing and progressing in places that I need to know this information. So I put my resume in, peeked my head in the door, even told in my interview, I'm like, I'm not even looking for a job, but I want to know what's going on here. And you know what? I love it because I became a staff member at One Cause and I love, 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 love talking to nonprofits around the country and having this very conversation like, Mickey, what kind of fundraising are you guys planning to do this year? What are some of the challenges that you're seeing? You know, a lot of our customers are saying, you know, I want to do something different. We don't want to do something that we were doing pre-pandemic. We want to do something different. What are some of the ways that people are fundraising now? And so it's been fun to brainstorm and then also say, yeah, and our software can do this. Have you considered this? Have you thought about peer-to-peer in a different way than kind of the traditional way or text to give? We just talked to somebody today that they're doing a concert. Hmm. A big concert's coming up. And I'm like, you need text to give. That's an easy way to raise some money. And it's frictionless.
But, okay, so doesn't something like text to give require your customer to drive the agenda, right? Like setting up the facility to do text to give doesn't really do anything unless people are sharing the number and making
sure,
it happen.
Sure, yeah. But the thing is with text to give, you can say, put in your newsletters, make a social media campaign out of it. and have text, you know, do the text to give right there. Have it be a really fun, challenging campaign on social media, and always just keep plugging out text to give here, text to give that. You're at a big sporting event. If you're a school, you can say, hey, we're at an assembly right now. Everybody get out your phones and do text to give. A football game, a concert. Right. There's so many variations to use it.
Do you think that people are using it?
Like, absolutely.
I'm picking on text to give as one.
Yeah, element, no, but I think people should be using it. I think it's easy.
Well,
I
mean,
it's an easy.
The reason I ask
way.
Is because I've served on a number of nonprofit boards.
Yeah.
And those boards have struggled with elements of outreach, and so we thought text to give would be convenient,
mm-hmm.
and so we set it up, and then nothing happened.
You have to be very intentional of how you're going to use your text to give. You can't just like have your text to give and not create a plan around it. Mm. But if you have your big organized events that people are going to be at, if you have your walk coming up, people are so excited to be back in person.
Yeah.
It's just another way. Yeah, they maybe were fundraising already, but it's another way to reach them.
Yeah.
Faith-based organizations, great way to do a text to give, easy way
mm-hmm.
to make that donation that day.
Mm-hmm. That, obviously, that's
yeah.
that's true. So again, let's cover the menu. You talk about text to give.
Sure.
What else do you guys offer?
Our fundraising platform is incredible. We're rolling out a brand new fundraising platform that's really a one-stop shop. So you can do your live auctions, your silent auctions, host your galas, really have this very intensely and very intentional program that they're always developing.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just going to be a really, and people are using it now. They're testing it, they're using it, and they're finding great success in it.
Mm-hmm.
You can have videos up on it. It's very customizable. But then we also have, you know, the support where we have great videos. I used it as a customer. If I needed to know something, I would go back and rewatch the video, stop mm-hmm. it, build my platform.
Mm-hmm.
But then also we have great consultants that are helping walk through. They're meeting with the event organizers. So you're very well supported. But the platform really is this one-stop shop that it's incredible.
Okay, so there's a lot of competition in this space.
Yes.
What should the decision makers at nonprofits be looking for as they consider their options?
Sure. Yeah. You know, I want to be supported as a nonprofit event manager. You don't have time to like try to troubleshoot yourself, right? Like you need to have awesome service and support that's going to help you when you have a question,
right.
Hands down. And there's going to be different ways that people need that support, whether it's videos, whether it's a call, you call somebody,
right.
or somebody that's walking you through things. OneCause also offers event managers on site. So you can purchase services that you have an event manager that comes on site to help you run your gala. So you're not in trying to figure this out on your own. You have hands-on people helping you right then and there. Yeah.
I'm sorry, I interrupted you.
No.
Do you have a sweet spot in terms of the kind of client you like to work with?
We want to work with people that are doing good in this world. We work from everything from startup nonprofits to big organizations. And we just want to help and meet them right where they are and help them be the best they can so we can all be part of the good that's happening in this world.
I didn't know if that was a budget size or...
No way.
Okay.
Come to us. Grassroots all the way to enterprise to national accounts. We're there. We see them all and it's so fun. The
that's
variation's
cool.
so fun because
right.
you hear of so many different types of events they're putting on.
The last question I want to ask you is, you see a lot of nonprofits that, you know, come to the table with solutions that they need, situations or problems that they need solutions for.
Mm-hmm.
Just take a step back and from your perspective as a third party observer to those issues, what are the most common issues you think nonprofits are facing from a management perspective? And what advice would you share with them as they face those issues?
From a management perspective. Well, I think right now what a lot of nonprofits, just if we're talking like right now, there's a lot of turnover that's happening, right? There's a lot of turnover that's been happening for nonprofits right now. So I think it's getting back to that. But then also really utilizing the people that have been married to your mission. Bring it back to the people. Bring those people back to you. They maybe stayed with you, but get the people that have been married to your mission and rally together.
Fantastic.
And build that team together.
Okay. If a person wanted to learn more about you and the work you do, how would they find you?
Yeah, go to onecause.com. Check it out. It is great resources. You can see the different platforms that we have, the different software programs that you have, that we have, and that you can find where your needs, we can meet your needs. There's lots of different areas that we, and we'd love to talk to you.
Okay.
So onecause.com.
Very cool. Onecause.com. Ashley, thank you for taking a few minutes to talk with me.
Thanks, Mickey.
Hello, we are at Cause Camp. Across the table from me, I've got Kelly Masata. Kelly, did I say that correctly?
You did. Well done.
Dr. Kelly Masata is the founder and chief trailblazer of a company called Sightline Security, and I can't wait to get into it because you have a story to tell that you didn't seek this PhD out from normal pathways, did you?
No, it very much is a squiggly line to getting to Sightline and doing this work.
Uh-huh.
I was happily doing marketing and business development in the high tech space. Had someone enter my life unexpectedly who ended up cyber stalking me for the better part of 7 years. And over the course of that time, you know, I kept thinking law enforcement, technology, something would help make it stop. Unfortunately, he was very good at anonymizing his identity and kind of flying under the radar. So to deal with it, I decided to go learn about it and for some reason went and got a PhD.
So, all right, how did you get a PhD in cybersecurity? I didn't even know those programs existed.
Yeah, it was weird,
yeah,
to say the least. So I met...
Usually there are IT degree programs that aren't specifically... Like, it doesn't say cybersecurity on the diploma, does it?
Yes, it does.
It does.
It does. Oh. It's kind of cool. And it's from Purdue University, so boiler up.
Yeah. Very cool.
I was meeting with some folks and got introduced to... Little did I know at the time, some of the founders of, you know, some of the pioneers in the cybersecurity space. And one of them said to me, you know, you have two choices here. You can stay a victim and sort of stay in that headspace, or you can do something different. And by the way, at Purdue University, we have a PhD program. I think you should apply. And I laughed. I said, I have an MBA in marketing, no technical background whatsoever. So what makes you think I can do, and I'm a single mom living in Boston. I'm not moving to Indiana. So I went home and I thought, I think I'm going to just fill out the application and that'll be my bucket list item. So I sat and I filled out the application. I wrote my essay on Amelia Earhart.
Mm.
Who was on faculty at Purdue.
Okay.
Strong, innovative woman. And 3 months later, I get a text message from the person who introduced me to the program saying, welcome to the program. I'm like, what the fudge? Are you kidding me? I said, this is not possible. He's like, and we'll see you in Indiana.
Yeah.
I said, nope. I'm staying in Boston. So I thankfully negotiated with professors, with fellow students. And I commuted from Boston to Purdue for 4 years.
Oh my God.
To get PhD. At every semester, I thought they were going to kick me out.
Yeah.
Every semester, I'm like, oh, if I just make it through this semester, I'll be good.
Okay. So I have to ask, did you kick this cyber stalker's butt or what?
I wish. He's still out there, sadly. I want to think, the way I frame it in my own mind is that I've risen above it. I have community, I have people, I have knowledge, I have, you know, I have great people around me. He's not important anymore.
Mm, good.
So,
okay. So you've got the degree. Did you start this company?
I did. So okay. I did my dissertation on, when you're faced with doing a dissertation, you're told to pick a topic that will advance a field of study and that somebody has never done before. Talk about pressure, right?
Just a little.
Just a little bit. So I was like, okay, what could I do? And I was thinking about it, and I was thinking about all the organizations that I reached out to for help during my own personal situation, and many of them were nonprofits.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought, what if I looked at nonprofits in cybersecurity, but not from the perspective of the mission, but from a business perspective? Because nonprofits are all about helping others. But how do they run their business? So I did a gap analysis on the security preparedness of nonprofits actually working with victims of violence, only because my PhD committee said, get the degree first, then go save the world, not the reverse. So right. I had to pick a couple of lanes to kind of do the research in. So I did a gap analysis on domestic violence and human trafficking organizations.
Ooh.
And that just exploded
yes.
in this understanding, this awareness around, oh my God, nonprofits are being left, you know, in the weeds when it comes to cybersecurity best practices. And yet lots of cyber companies are throwing free products and free training and free stuff over the fence. And the nonprofits are sitting there going, how do we catch all this stuff? So at Sightline, I started Sightline to help nonprofits measure where they are, measure what things are doing well, what they need to improve on, understand their attack landscape mm-hmm. before improving or looking at data security products and tools.
So, okay, got it. I mean, first of all, I understand that there's some competition in this space between people who want to help nonprofits with cybersecurity. What should a nonprofit be looking at as they search for help with those problems? And let's also back up a further step to say there's too early is not early enough for this kind of thing, right?
Right.
You don't want to be looking for help once you've been hit.
Right.
So given that we've established that, let's pretend I'm that nonprofit. I'm a small nonprofit. Maybe I've only been in business a year. I know I need to protect my technological end, not to mention my databases and stuff like that. What questions should I be using to vet the people that provide these solutions?
Yeah, it's a great question. So there's lots of third parties out there that are willing to step in and help you. The first thing, though, is to almost turn your focus internally. And to think about, you know, what is it that you hold that is valuable, right? For most nonprofits, it's, okay, we have donor information, we have information about our clients, but every single nonprofit, the thing that makes them the most valuable out there in the world is the trust that the communities that they serve and the people that they serve have in that organization.
Mm-hmm.
Cyber attacks and incidents through digital realm aren't always about, let me go get that credit card. Sometimes it's about, let me just disrupt what you're doing, or let me tarnish your reputation enough so that you won't get the donors.
Okay, so here's where I stop things and ask, why on earth would anyone want to do that to my small nonprofit? We're nobody. We exist in a very small space. My annual operating budget isn't even that big. Why am I a target?
Great question. Some of it is that you're not always a target. You are caught up in a web of targets because you're easy. So a lot of nonprofits, because they don't have security controls or it's not even top of mind for them, they're just an easy target. So we talk about it with our members in two domains. One is, let's look at your mission and let's honestly talk about what are the directed attacks that you might experience.
Mm-hmm.
A disgruntled volunteer, a disgruntled employee. If you're working in human trafficking, you have a whole host of other issues and attackers.
Right.
But for other nonprofits, about you are just a small company not paying attention, so that makes you an easy target.
Right. And to be clear, it's not always an intentional attack.
Exactly.
You and I were talking before we started recording that there are plenty of people out there that are just looking for opportunities, and it's not personal at all, but they're just scanning. They use bots to scan open IPs or whatever,
yep.
unprotected IPs, and lo and behold, if they find yours is open, they'll just shut you down and make you pay to open it back up. And it's purely opportunistic.
Yep.
Okay, so that's great. So how do we protect nonprofits then? What does a nonprofit need to do?
So what we're trying to do at Sightline and what we were encouraging all of our members to do is to think of cybersecurity and information security even better, because there's a big difference between the two. To think about it as a normal course of business, not just 1 month a year. Cybersecurity month is in October. I'm not a fan of it. I'll be fully honest about it. It needs to be how you do your business.
Sure.
Right? So if you had an office, you would have a set of keys that would let you into your office or a keypad, right?
Right.
When you leave, you're going to lock the doors. You want to have that same muscle memory and that sort of same kind of just, this is what we do. When you're talking about the data and the reputation of your organization in a digital realm, mm-hmm. we help you do that at Sightline because we're not there to sell you a solution. We're there to help you figure it out.
Right.
And some of that, there's some really simple things you can start today. One is, do you have a list of all the accounts that you have opened up in the domain of your organization that you've used an email and a password to open up?
Huh.
So think about, did you see this cool new thing that said, well, just give us, sign up for an account, we'll do a free trial for 7 days, and then you decide not to use it. Most people can go in and say, oh, we've got our banks, we've got, you know, our fundraising tools, we've got all these things. But what are those things that you just sign up for willy-nilly?
Right. Well, okay. So here my question is, even if I keep a list of all the accounts that I've ever registered for using my company account, isn't that sort of also against the rules? Don't they also tell you don't write down that list?
Oh, no. Writing down the list is important. What you want to do is be careful around passwords, which is the next step.
Okay.
So once you have that list, right, mm-hmm. then you can do house cleaning. Then you can go, well, we don't need that anymore. We're not using that technology or that application. Let's shut down the account. That's great, just cleaning of your house. The second thing is to look at, are you using the same password
mm-hmm.
for everything? If you're using the same password for everything,
mm-hmm.
you might want to not do that.
Mm-hmm.
Some people argue that, okay, making a physical list of passwords is a good idea because who's going to break into your house and grab your post-it notes? There is something to be said about that,
mm-hmm.
but there are lots of ways to manage passwords mm-hmm. to make it easy for you to generate unique passwords for everything that you have and to keep track of it and to refresh those passwords on a regular basis.
Mm-hmm.
So these are all the tips and things that, you know, what we love to do at Sightline really is to take all the great stuff happening in the cybersecurity space and translate it into nonprofit language. Translate it in a way that makes sense for the nonprofit business. So it doesn't have to be like, oh, that's geeky.
Right.
Like we talk about security in the domain of people, process, policies, and technology.
Sure. And, you know, people and process is not just installing a firewall and expecting everything is going to be okay.
Right.
I've heard from others that the biggest challenge in helping nonprofits master the security challenges has everything to do with training and awareness.
It first starts with people.
Yeah.
But for a lot of nonprofits, they want to go get cybersecurity training. We always ask them on what? When you think about cybersecurity, it's a huge, huge melting pot of stuff.
Yeah.
So if you want training to help secure your organization, understand what you need first. Sometimes it might be training your team to understand the value of the data that they hold. It might be, how do we use social media more effectively and keep an eye on it if there's an attack,
mm-hmm.
or it's practicing what happens if somebody posts something weird on our social media account. What's our checklist? What's our training around that? The more that you sort of understand what you need around security, then you can train the people, you can fill in those gaps, and then you're better secure.
Yeah. Okay. parting questions here. How small can a nonprofit be before they call you?
Oh, one person shop.
Okay.
If you have a 501c3 or 501c, not even three, but 501c designation, give us a call. We have a free member forum. You can come in and get news and resources, and we start assessments in there. So we post questions and say, hey, go do this, see if you have this. And we have other nonprofits in there that will post, hey, we just got this weird email. Did anybody else get it? Which is actually beautiful because it's building community that nonprofits are recognizing opportunities and events in security as it pertains to their businesses, and they're sharing it with other nonprofits.
Right. Okay. as you work with other nonprofits, you get an outside view as to some of the challenges that they're facing.
Yes.
So let's step back from the cybersecurity world for a second. And as you meet these nonprofits and you gain a perspective on their issues, their problems, their challenges, what general advice would you have for these nonprofits as you get to meet them? I hope that question makes sense.
I think so.
Okay.
Yeah. So the general advice is that if you take one step in the right direction, you're better off than you were if you didn't take that step.
And trick is just figuring out what the right direction.
And just figuring out what the right direction. And doing this work and sort of thinking in this space, you're able to actually carry that with you. So you can carry it into your personal space. You can carry it to the people that you're serving. And that's really where the benefit is that, you know, security isn't about me locking everything down, kind of like, you know, my own personal situation. It's about making sure that everyone that's connected to me is safe.
That's it. That's it. They're right there. Brilliant. If a listener wanted to learn more about you and get in touch, how would you suggest they do that?
Sightlinesecurity.org is our website. We've got a Kickstart program where they can start a cybersecurity journey if they want to. It's not painful. It's a lot of fun. You get to hang out with me. We have our free member forum also available on our website, but they can email us at hello@sightlinesecurity.org.
hello@sightlinesecurity.org. And Sightline is S-I-G-H-T.
Yes.
Got it. Cool. Kelly, thank you for taking the time. I'm glad we got to meet.
Thank you.
And
me too.
Yeah, this has been good stuff. Thank you very much.
Love it. Thanks.
This episode of the Nonprofit Snapcast is brought to you by Arjuna Solutions. Arjuna uses its patented AI and behavioral economics technology to help nonprofits increase their direct response fundraising. It's easy with Arjuna. Learn more at www.arjunasolutions.com.
This has been the Snapcast. Thank you for joining us.
The Snapcast is a production of the Nonprofit Snapshot. Please visit us at nonprofitsnapshot.org to learn more about our consulting work and the ways we can help your organization continue to make the world a better place.